I want to thank everyone for coming this evening. Last week, we spoke about the concept of leading the Seder by creating an environment where you make it okay for people to ask questions. And we connected it to the Hilchos Talmud Torah law, whereby the Rebbe can't be too upset, and the Talmidim need to feel comfortable asking questions. And we pointed out that the whole Seder was originally intended for us to pique the curiosity of the children. That was the goal of last week's shiur. And we pointed out there's really two ways to understand the Haggadah. Way number one is just getting the kids to ask any question is inherently valuable, whether it's related to the Pesach story or not. And way number two is no, there's a specific order to everything and it needs to relate to the Haggadah. So that's where we were holding last week. This week, I want to shift to the content of what we actually should focus on during the Seder. So last week, maybe spoke about more of the environment of the Seder. It should be interactive, and you should be calm and try to figure out how to balance all the different needs at the table, people who are tired and cranky, some more motivated, some less motivated. And that's our job to create the environment. Is it safe to ask questions or not? But what do we actually focus on? And that's going to be very connected, because imagine if you had a table with seven people, three of them are really motivated, four of them less so, and even when those other four, two of them are a little motivated and two of them are like really not motivated. And you have to kind of figure out what to edit, what to focus on. And let's this evening, Be'ezus Hashem, learn a fundamental halacha that we all are aware of. We'll learn the halachic background and then followed by more practical, like Divrei Torah style for the Seder. Because if you had to ask me, well, Rabbi, what is the most important part of the Seder? What would I say? What is the most important mind, you'd rather? What can't be skipped? Oh, there it is, right? So we know Gamliel Omer. Maschil v'gedus says it's a Mishnah. Why did I just say that? Because we're going to learn the Lamedus in a second from the Aruch Menir. But here, there's one Mishnah in Perek Yud of Meseches Pesachim, Mishnah Dalet. We're going to learn that Mishnah first. Then we'll learn the famous Rabbi Gamliel Mishnah, the second Mishnah. But they're back to back in the Mishnayos. Save that Ha'ara. Here we go. So we know Ulufi Daito Shel Ben Aviv Malamdu. So based on the capabilities of the kid, the father teaches him Masul Beginus Masayim Meshevach. You start with the bad, you end with the good. V'dorish Ma'arim Yovid Avi Achi Gmor Kol Parsha Kula. So we know the story of Rami Ovid Avi, and that is the blueprint of how to say over the Pesach story at the Agada. Essentially, the Mishnah Maseches Pesachim and Perek Arvei Pesachim is telling us, you know, based on the capabilities, you tell the kid as much as you can. You know? All right. Very nice. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, in the next Mishnah, Kol Shelo Omer Shlosha Devarim Elu B'Pesach LeYotzei LeChavasa. If you don't say Pesach Matzo Maror, you haven't fulfilled your obligation. Pesach, we know, because Hashem passed over the homes, during Malchus Bechoros, Matzah, because we were redeemed, and Maror, because they embittered our lives. So what? Before we go into the basic lumdus of that Mishnah, there is the pashup shot of that Mishnah is that what? Rabbi Gamliel is telling you the minimum requirement of Magid, is exactly how I phrase the question. Meaning, if you had to boil down the. What's pashup shot? AB disagrees.
Yeah, you have to mask with the sign the shvach.
Oh.
Must include.
Very good. AB is very bright. Very good. AB says, Mandelstam. You can't learn this Mishnah without the previous mission. The previous mission specifically said you have to start with the bad, the gnus, and with the sheva. Now, granted, there's a machlokas, whether the bad point was the Avodah Zarah or the Ridur Avadim, and therefore the end of the story either ends that we are now servants of Hashem, or alternatively we were freed from slavery, right? There are two different stories, Rav versus Shmuel, whether it was a more spiritual story or more physical story. But Abi says, wait a minute, Rabbi. If you're going to just say Pesach Matzah Maror, even if you elaborate a little bit, did you start with the bad and the good? Well, let's think about it. Pesach, Matzah, Maror. Maror is the Gnus. Pesach is the Shavach. Ah! So we have the ingredients, but they're not in the right order. Oh, very good. Yeah. Very good. So Shlomo is pointing out that if you what really dwell on the word Pesach, you're going to what? You're going to get to Matzah. And therefore what? Therefore what? Therefore what? Meaning the gnus, what, even though that night that they were eating the korban pesach was already pretty good, but that was still gnus because we were still slaves that night. We weren't afraid till the next morning.
I would assume that Rabbi Gamliel was a minimum, and that what you're supposed to do,
I would have said like that's a correct. The first Mishnah, AB, you start with the bad and end with the good. That's ideal. And again, based on the capabilities of the son, you can, you know, Achigwa Kola Parsha Kula, that is an ideal scenario. The next Mishnah is if you can't live up to that standard, if you have to boil it down, that's the bare minimum. I think that's a very valid reading. That's how I would have read it, but I could see it being read more than one way. So the Mishnah Rishona, one of the classical Mefarshim on the Mishnah, has a very sharp question. He says, we know that there is a list in Maseches Peah. In fact, the Mishnah Rishon is commenting on that very first Mishnah in Maseches Peah. There are certain mitzvahs that don't have a shiur. There is no quantifiable requirement, right? Tama Torah, Chesed, Peah, right? Meaning, so ask the Mishnah Rishona, so Sipur Yitzes Mitzrayim should also be on that list. Why? The more you say, the better, but what? But there's no limit. There's no limit.
It's
time limit. Interesting. Tama Torah, yeah. Oh, it's included in Tama Torah. It's a very sharp answer. Adam, a very sharp answer. But this is Mishra Rishkashim, that there's no maximum, there's no end point. Since you could technically elaborate on a story all night, there's no cap. You know, whereas once you shake a lulav, you're yotzei the mitzvah. Here, it's like the more you say on the story, the better. So why is it not included in this category of mitzvahs that don't have a quantifiable limit? And he answers, because even though there's no quality to maximize your chiyav, there is a minimum requirement. Mishum d'yesh lo shiur lamata, i.e., Rabbi Gamliel's din. Okay. So again, he does point out, but the other thing, he's also have a minimum, whatever. So he points out, so he wants to argue that when it comes to Rabbi Gamliel's din, that's even a din to Oraisa, meaning you really have not fulfilled your obligation at all if you have not said Rabbi Gamliel's din on any level, which is amazing. And therefore, it can't be listed in that Mishnah because there is a minimum requirement. So what we're seeing from the Mishnah Rishona is Adam's reading of the Mishnah, namely that Rabbi Gamliel is teaching you there is a minimum requirement to say Pesach, Matzah, Umar. Now, if you don't do that, you're not Yotzei your Chiyav. Now, just to go into a little bit of the lumdus over here, we said you're not Yotzei the Chiyav of what? You didn't fulfill the mitzvah of telling the story of Mishazran. What would be the other way to read the Mishnah? Anyone who doesn't say Pesach, Matzah, Umar is not Yotzei the mitzvah of Pesach, the mitzvah of Matzah, the mitzvah of Umar, which would be crazy. What does that mean? That when you eat matzah, it's not enough. You need to what? Talk about it. When you eat the Gor Mezach or bring it, not enough. You need to talk about it. Is that a plausible reading or not? Why not? You tell me why not. What's the punch of the Mishnah?
It's like on Rosh Hashanah and on
Shofar,
if you do it without the brachas.
Very nice. Okay, so you need to make a bracha. Usually we assume brachas are not ma'akev.
They're not.
But it's not complete. Oh, so you're already in the wrong. Adam, you're two steps ahead. You're saying, number one is talking about the mitzvah. Number two, it doesn't mean you're not Yotzei. Literally, it means you're not Yotzei in the most ideal sense of the word. That's how the Ron reads that. Okay, so number one, let's just play into what we have been saying so far. It's very, very clear in the Rambam, in the way he presents this halacha, that the Mishnah is referring to the mitzvah of Magid. The Rambam speaks about Magid. He says, again, v'tzarech l'hasel b'gnus m'shayim b'shevach, exactly, you know, the whole story as we know it. And then he concludes halacha dal in the parak zayin of Hilchos Chametz Matzah. So the more details you go into the story, the better. So there's no limit. You can, you know, all the more Torah you add, amazing. However, and then he elaborates and he concludes the halacha. So what many point out on the Rambam is that it's pretty clear that the Rambam understands, as we originally understood, that what Gamliel means, if you don't say Pesach, Matzah, Umar, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of Magid, because he concludes, this is called Haggadah. And in the context of the Rambam, it's clearly talking about the mitzvah of Magid, and this is how we would have always interpreted it. However, there's a Ramban, and there is another school of thought, it is a Marsha, And the other Masha things, Shannon Tosfos, but just to say a little bit of an offside, of a side topic within the sugya, there is a school of thought of the Rishonim that deserves attention. Namely, the Ramban writes that if you did not say these three things, lo yate de chovaso, and therefore what? You would potentially need to eat the Korban Pesach again. You would need potentially to eat the matzah again, the maror again, because you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of Pesach matzah, maror. But the Ramban then says, no. V'lo she'et sarich lachzor v'lecho. Meaning, not that you have to go back. Right, so the Ramban and the Machamas Hashem, Maseches Brachos says, like his Talmud, right, the Ran, that it just means you haven't fulfilled those mitzvahs in the most ideal sense, but not that you have to do them again. But what's the Ramban saying between the lines? That Rabbi Gamliel is not referring to the mitzvah of Magid, he's referring to the mitzvahs of Pesach, Matzah, Maror. And the question begs itself, why in the blazes would I not fulfill the mitzvah of Pesach by eating Korban Pesach? Why, I need to tell the story about it? Imagine such a thing. Is there another mitzvah that we have in the Torah where you need to not only do the mitzvah but elaborate on it? Ooh, Bikurim. You need to talk about it? Arami Ovidavi. Very good. Vidu Bikurim. Very good. Vidu Meiser. Shofar. We do say Psukim. But again, the mitzvah, you don't need.
According to the Rabbits.
Yeah. Okay, all right, so yeah, the brachos will always enhance the mitzvah. But even a bracha is not elaborating. It's a brachos mitzvah. It's a brachos mitzvah. So Adam's talking about the psukim of shofros, you're saying. Yeah. Part of the mitzvah of shofar is the psukim, or the psukim of shofros.
Yeah, but that's separate than the kiyah shofar.
Now, Adam's pointing out that according to Rav Soloveitchik, shofar is a kiyum tefillah. So therefore, the tefillah and the maisa mitzvah of shofar are kind of intertwined. I hear what you're saying. And therefore, you're kind of elaborating or putting words to the shofar, you know, that are not there without, you know, inherently. So that's what you're saying. Good. I was listening to a share on this topic by Daniel Feldman Shlita, you know, while you were Shiva. He pointed out that there is another mitzvah by Sukkah with the chumrah of the Bach. Is that since the Torah says L'man Yedu Torah says Yechem, someone should dafka sit in a sukkah the first night of sukkahs, and have in mind why we're sitting in the sukkah to commemorate the sukkos of the midbar. Now, does the Bach mean that you have to talk about it? No, not necessarily verbally, but now we're getting kind of confused. When are we talking about mitzvah shrichos kavana? When do you need to actually elaborate verbally? It's certainly a good thing to do it every time. I think the Ikar HaDin is probably the first night, because secondly, you don't need to sit in the sukkah and sukkahs again, you know, the whole 7 days. But yeah, certainly every time you do it is one. But it's, I think, technically speaking, about the first, or it's two nights in Chutzlars. So I thought that was a sharp hour by Rabbi Feldman. What?
That's not Pashtus in the Pasuk.
Man Yedid Ozeim?
The Pasuk is by doing this.
Okay, yeah, it's the Chomer of the Bach. We try to do it. But you're not, you don't have to worry about it, but you have it. All right. Ah, very good. So says Shlomo, when we recite Hallel, when?
On
Sukkot, it gives a context. So at the Seder also. I like it. So Shlomo, every time we're doing, every time we're saying Hallel, we're trying to essentially give a little bit of ta'am to what we're doing. It's a nice idea, that's true. The Maharsha, though, is the one who explains this to also be the opinion of Tosfos. And it's not so crazy, you know why? Because it's a din in kutchim in general, meaning if we're talking about Korban Pesach, so when you eat a korban, so we have a general concept, dizvachim shalol, you know, shenizmach shalol l'shman ksheirim. So if I shecht a korban without the proper intention, that is okay, except for one exception, the korban pesach and achatas, two exceptions. The psul and shalol l'shman. Wow. So he says again. He has the marsha has a not kabbalistic but spiritual approach. He says the pagam of Kedusha needs more closeness. Again, this is a Kedusha Gados, meaning when you bring a korban to rectify a sin, you need to compensate for that sin with more Kedusha. And having a verbal or at least a mental awareness will accomplish more tshuva. And then he says, and that's why Rabbi Gamliel says, "Degam achilas abaylim yu mefurish l'shma lekarive l'kedusha." So says the Maharsha, uniquely, that part of the Korban Pesach procedure has to be with a very focused perspective. And that's what we need to elaborate, Pesach HaShuma, because it's not enough just to bring the Korban Pesach. We need to do tshuva as we separate from the Tumah of Mitzrayim and the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim. And therefore it makes sense that it's not enough just to eat the Korban Pesach, but we need to talk about it to make sure we're focused in the spiritual Avodah that accompanies the physical eating. And then Maro also, because what does it say in the Torah? You know what? Ubay lazez chir bepet echsiv v'zacharta ki evad ayisim v'zayim. So the Maharsha now goes one by one. Why Pesach, Matzah, and Mar uniquely require more concentration. And the way to get to that concentration is by talking about it. The Torah says, well, v'zacharta ki evad ayisim, meaning, and since the Torah says you need to eat the Mar in order to remember. So how are you going to remember without talking about it? You need something to jog your memory. And therefore, the words that elaborate on Mar will jog your memory. And what does the Torah say about matzah? Zayin yamim tochal alav matzos, l'man tizkor. In order to remember, you know, they got to Kizat Mitzrayim. Namely, the Torah wants us to do these mitzvahs for a reason. For in Pesach was to leave the Tumah of Mitzrayim, Mar to remember the Shibud, matzah to remember the Geula. And if we don't speak about these mitzvahs, we haven't properly fulfilled them. What a brilliant Marsha. I have to thank my brother, Rav Mielstein. He is the one who told me that this Marsha exists. And I found it because of him. It was funny. I actually thought I was looking at a different Sefer when I was learning this Marsha. And I said, this does not sound like the Sefer. You know, it's like very different style. Imagine like opening a like Jonathan Sachs. And like all of a sudden it's like Chassidus. And you're like, excuse me? Like what was... As I had this experience with the Marsha, I was like reading the Sefer. And I thought I opened up a different Sefer, and I'm like, what is going on? But that's the Marsha. Brilliant, brilliant comment of the Marsha. Okay. So there is a lot to say in Lamdus, and our Soloveitchik has, you know, a beautiful analysis. You know, there are different dinim and different mitzvos and whatever. There's the Maisa and there's the Dibur and whatever. Very similar along lines. But let's focus on the main opinion, that of the Rambam, that of the majority, that when Rabbi Gamliel says that you're not yotzei the mitzvah, that means you're not yotzei the mitzvah of Magid. Part of the mitzvah of Magid, and the bare minimum of Magid, is Pesach Matzah Maror. And we know that when you do Magid, you have to really tell the story. The Shulchan Aruch, we quoted already last week, quotes the Ramah. The Ramah writes that there was the Ri Mi Londori. Is that London? It is London. Rav Shechter always quotes one of the Baalei Tosfos from London, but I don't know if it's the same one that's quoted in the Ramah. It says the same thing, and it's Londori is London.
I heard him say
it. Rav Shechter always quotes one of the Baalei Tosfos, the Ri from London. I assume it's the same, and he says the exact same halacha, so it must be the same. That the Ri from London would literally say the Haggadah in English, because people at the table knew English. Yeah, so Rav Shechter does like to say English to make the point, right? What language is it? The Reuse family speak, I ain't shum. However, we need to teach the Haggadah properly in a way that everyone at the table understands. Okay, what do we need to talk about? So we'll open up the Haggadah and read it. Says Shulchan Aruch, Tav Ayin Gimel Zayin, Ukshemascha Avadim Ayinu, Lefaro Machzer Ka'ara. So you start Avadim Ayinu, you put the Seder plate on the table, Vikore Kol HaHaggadah. You read the Haggadah. Done, right? So number one, if you just read it, you gotta be a little dry. Gotta put some flair into that, a little bit of dramatics, you know. And what if you need to trim it down? You know, during COVID, people trimmed. In general, might be healthy. I don't know. Maybe for some people to read the whole thing, some people need to skip. Some people need to take a break, maybe during the Seder and come back. You know, having ADHD at the Seder is probably not the easiest thing in the world. And I'm not.
I have a tshuva. Rabbi Mark was showing me a tshuva.
Yeah.
About, they asked Sternberg.
Yeah.
I have two options for the Seder. I can take Ritalin, and I'll be able to sit and do the Haggadah right. But then I won't have a good
appetite. Wow. So my ADHD meds will not give me an appetite, but it will. I mean, so what was Sternberg?
Yeah.
What did he say?
He said, as long
as
you eat the matzah, it's fine.
Wow, eat the matzah. You mean take the Ritalin, and even though you won't have the hiddur mitzvah of having a potato bone, you'll get everything. Wow, wow, wow. Yeah, also on the cap of ADHD as a high school rabbi, so you know, an AB I'm sure deals with this also a lot. So a lot of high school kids struggle. Yeah, there's a lot of whatever, better or worse. It's very common, and parents should be encouraged to get their kids tested if they think it's happening. And people who are afraid to medicate, it's a shame. One pill can totally enhance a kid's life. It's night and day. Night and day. One pill. Night and day.
Sometimes two.
Anyway, why am I telling you this kid? I remember a kid asked me once at ABC years ago, can I take my ADHD medication on Yom Kippur? And Rav Zalovsky said, of course. Imagine having ADHD on Yom Kippur. Yeah, right. So no chance. Yeah, no chance. So Rav Zalovsky said, totally fine. Okay. So, all right. So let's trim down Maggid a little bit because the Shulchan Aruch just said, read the whole Haggadah, which sounds wonderful.
So what did they do? Basically, the Haggadah is a Rami or Beit Avi with a parish by the
Yeah, Haggadah is Chazal, right.
Right, Haggadah
is Chazal. So what did
they
do
before the Haggadah is
Chazal? Oh, so very good.
They read Arami Oved Avi, and that's
all
they read.
Oh, yeah, because already in the Mishnayos it said, V'doresh Merami Oved Avi.
But that's, they already had the
name. Ad Sheyigmor Kol HaParsha Kula. Right? So already in Mishnaic times.
But before that, they had enough, all they didn't say Arami Oved Avi.
And Pesach Matzah Mar. I mean, clearly already in the Mishnayos, there's a lot of over. It was quicker. Okay, yeah, I don't know exactly what would happen. I wouldn't be surprised if they elaborated a lot or they had their own chidushim in the times of the object of Zagdol. And Chazal, they probably had what to elaborate when they were living at a time with like Ruach HaKodesh. That being said, I hear what you're saying, Adam. So let's really try to figure it out. Because again, famously, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chayei Adam, whereby if in the times, 100 years ago, it's still very practical today, if someone is out of the room, the classic example, if the woman is in the, the kitchen preparing the meal or whatever, or the maidservant in their times, they were Jewish, they should be called in. And here's the lashon of the Chayei Adam. V'nohagim sham shagam korin osam shetishma ha'eser makos shevi ala mitzrim, right? So he said, call them in again for Rabbi Gamliel Omer. That's what I skipped. You have to call them for Rabbi Gamliel Omer until after the second cup, because that's the main part of Magid, right? Rabbi Gamliel Omer until the end of Magid. That is the ikar. That is it. The three Pesach Matzah Maror until the end of the cup, you make the Hagavan, the Asher Galanu. And he also threw a little bit of a curveball in there, the Eser Makos. Eser Makos. Mishnah Berurah quotes this, and it should be noted, again, there are two things I wanted to bring out from the Shut Bin Yitzion, right? Who is the Shut Bin Yitzion? Who is the Shut Bin Yitzion? Forget. I don't know. We're talking about, 1700s to 1800s. When I was preparing this year, I looked him up and I did my bag, but it was already at the beginning of the week. All right, not for now. But why did I want to quote him? Why do I want to quote him? Because he had a very nice diuk. What does he say? That it's very clear that Rav Gamliel Omer is referring to the mitzvah of Magid based on the context of the Mishnah. So what did the previous Mishnah speak about? Maschel Beginus and Mishnah Meshevach. And the next Mishnah speaks about Rav Gamliel Omer. Oh, that's what I wanted to say that, but I didn't have confidence because I'm not joking. You know why? Because of course I was about to say because he has so many different. Yes, Arlaner. He has so many different names of his svarim. So I knew that I quoted Arlaner.
The first two was about
Yeah, Binyan Siam. When I quoted, when I opened up the Maharsha, I thought I was reading the Arlaner, and I thought it was a little funny because it didn't sound like Arlaner. So just now when I saw the Binyan Sion, I'm like, I thought I quoted an Aruch HaNer, not a Binyan Sion. And I forgot that the Binyan Sion and the Aruch HaNer are the same person. So what's it called? He just makes a very nice diuk that based on the context of the Mishnah, it's clear that the mitzvah is not talking about Pesach Masamara, the mitzvah is talking about Magid. But what I really wanted to point out of Rav Yaakov Enlinger is that he says the following. You need to elaborate on Pesach Matzah Maror. It's not enough just to say Pesach Matzah Maror. He says Vegam Mifurashim Ta'amin Shel Gimel Dvarim. And the Chayyim says that. He says that when you get into Pesach Matzah Maror, you need to elaborate. And the Yisod V'Shor Sha'avota, the classical Kabbalistic work, says that when he got up to the Eser Makos, Yazbir v'yavinam levene beso, godel hakeev u'makasa shel kol makom makom. So what I want to point out is that if you really need to focus on one part of Magid, knowing that there are different types of people at your Seder, focus on Pesach, Matzah, u'Maror, and the Eser Makos. Pesach, Matzah, u'Maror are taking precedence over the Eser Makos, but not just saying Pesach, Matzah, u'Maror, elaborate. Now, it is true, the Haggadah elaborates on Pesach, Matzah, u'Maror for us. It does give a little blurb, Pesach, Hashuma, etc. But not the Eser Makos. And I think, not a rookie mistake, the minhag klal Yisrael is to rush through the Eser Makos because the Haggadah does not elaborate on them. The Haggadah elaborates on all the preface, the preliminary introductory remarks, you know, Ma'aser Eliezer and the Arba Banim, and people will sometimes elaborate so much on those items by that the time they get to the Eser Makos, they dip the finger and they move on quickly because they're hungry and they're all maggoted out by then.
But that's only an explanation of That's what the Eser Makos are. That thing is an explanation of the
Yeah, but on a halachic level, the Chaye Adam is equating the Eser Makos. He's putting it just under Rabbi Gamliel Omer. So you're right. In the middle of Torah Shabbat Peh, it's like coming in the middle of a shir. So Adam's pointing out that you're missing the introduction. Yeah, but as I'm pointing out, forget the introduction. If you were to elaborate to really maximize your magid, the Chaye Adam is telling you that the bare minimum is Rabbi Gamliel Omer and Eser Makos. And I think we have a lot to learn from that. Because, number one, not supposed to say them, you should elaborate on them. And for the remaining, you know, few minutes of the shiur, I want to tell you my little perspective on Pesach, Matzah, u'Maror, and maybe some time for the Makos as well. Because Pesach, we know that God skipped over our homes, spared our lives. But if you look in the context of the Torah, do you know what that pasuk is talking about? When it says, V'amartam zevach Pesach hu la'Hashem, when you explain that actually God skipped over our houses and only, you know, killed the Mitzrim, it's actually a response to the Rosh's question. Believe it or not, in the Torah, in Parshas Bo, Yibbeis, it's talking about when you get to Eretz Yisrael, there's going to be a question asked, Ma ha'avodah hazot lachem? And your response is, Pesach hu la'Hashem. You know, Pesach ha'avodah b'nei Yisrael Mitzrayim. Why is Pesach the appropriate response to the Rosh's question? In the Seder, we don't give him an answer. What do we say to the Rosh? Haket Shinov. But ironically, Pesach is the response in the Torah to the Rosh's question, because the Gemara Yishami elaborates what Maha Avodah Zot Lachem. Now, often we point out, like the Haggadah, that he excluded himself from the cloud because he said Lachem. I want to argue that's not how he excluded himself from the cloud. He excluded himself from the cloud because the Gemara Yishami points out that he uses the word avodah. And the Gemara says, Maha Torah Chazeh. Shatam HaTurichim Aleinu B'chol Shana V'Shana. He actually includes himself in the klal. He excludes himself from the klal because Klal Yisrael should be happy to bring the Korban Pesach. And he ironically wants to bring everyone else down with him. What's this burden you're putting on us? Almost like Korach, trying to bring the community down with him. Moshe, what is this that you're putting yourself above us, literally including others? He's trying to include himself negatively with other Jews. But the issue is that he views Avodas Hashem, specifically attacking the Korban Pesach, as a burden. And what do we answer him? What do we answer him? You know what? You excluded yourself from the klal, so you have to say, Ba'avor Azeh Hashem Li Livelo Asal Oso Ha'ish. Happens to be some scholarly work, Rav Et Shalom from LA, you know, who we know, Oso Ish, is generally a reference to a specific someone who may be the, you know, forerunner of a different religion. So there's a lot of Torah about references to Christianity, by the way, in the Haggadah, you know, secret-like messages. It's a response to Oso Ish, whatever. Not for now, fascinating stuff. However, I think that if we were to elaborate at the Seder on the meaning of Pesach, it's this, that so many people view Judaism as a burden, and specifically the Korban Pesach was viewed as a burden. And our response is, hello, How can you possibly view Judaism as a burden when Hashem literally saved our lives? Do you not feel any sense of gratitude? And how does that pasuk end? Vayikod ha'am vayishtachavu. When we were instructed to bring the Korban Pesach, literally, it can be understood in one of two ways. Either it means we praise Hashem, that's Rashi and Chazal. Torah Tamima says that this actually teaches a halacha. Whenever you hear about miracles, you have to thank Hashem, focus on the good. But what does the Chizkuni say? Vayikod ha'am vayishtachavu, zu kabbalas mitzvah. What does it mean, vayikod ha'am? It's when you give a nod, if someone gives you an instruction, there's a certain agreement, and that's what they did. Misha b'kabbala asos es asher yitzuva marchin savaro v'nira b'ishtachavos v'shekibel alav mitzvah. They give a little bow.
Roger that.
Exactly, roger that, yes sir. And that's exactly what the Torah says, that when they were instructed to bring the Korban Pesach, how does that little episode end? Vayelchu vayasu bnei Yisrael kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe v'aron kenasu. Right, so it's much more than just Pesach that Hashem skipped over our houses. How would I elaborate on that on my Seder? I would say, do we understand how willing Klal Yisrael was to act on the fact that Hashem saved them? If you were saved, how would you react? Would you feel like the rush of such a burden? Or would you feel a sense of gratitude? You know, and you know, in the same way that we know that after the Holocaust, there were two schools of thought, Jews who felt indebted, thank you Hashem for saving my life, versus, you know, people who gave up on their amunah. So I think that is, at least in the context of the psukim, a major life lesson to learn from Pesach. Okay, now what about matzah? There's, again, so much more to say, obviously, but matzah, there is a brilliant Ramban that we generally assume, based on the pasuk that we're going to say at the Haggadah, the reason why we ate matzah was because we rushed out so fast that the bread couldn't rise. Seemingly what the Torah says, right? Ki lo chametz, ki goshu mimitzrayim, v'lo yechlus mameah. We were rushed out of Egypt. We had no time to delay, and therefore, the yeast could not do its thing. Says the Ramban, not true. Not true. Do you know why they were going to eat matzah that morning? You looked 20 psukim earlier, and it said back, we already had a mitzvah to eat matzah that day. That's true. Some hold that the mitzvah that year only lasted one day, not seven, but it was day one, which means Klal Yisrael was going to be eating matzah no matter what that day. No matter what. What's the chiddush of the pasuk? We didn't have time to even bake the matzah. We were, imagine baking matzah and being rushed out in the middle, and they had to go out with their dough and their kneading pans and their whatever, their water. They were like rushed out in the middle of baking matzah. So what's the chiddush? What's the chiddush? So I want to quote a Netziv. The Netziv says that although the Egyptians rushed us out, don't think that they were rushing us out against our will. We were also excited to leave. Eli Yisrael nechbazu sheyiru shelo yehi noda lemitzrayim she'ein daitam lachzur. We took advantage of the moment. We took advantage of the moment. We weren't saying that, could you please wait 3 minutes for us? Can you wait 18 minutes for us to bake matzah? No. And what's the idea of matzah? Klal Yisrael took the cue from Hashem. You know, and along the lines of Shir Shim, which we read later in the evening, going to many, that when you hear your beloved knocking, what is your response? And Klal Yisrael took the memo. Imagine if the Ribono Shel Olam came to free you in Nazi Germany, and the Americans came to your camp, and, you know, the great famous chaplain, Rabbi Herschel Schechter, said, I'm here to free you. And you said, I'm not ready. I need to know that you are legit. So Klal Yisrael did not, now again, believe it or not, many of Klal Yisrael didn't, right, really, they were not on that level. But we have to learn that if Hashem is knocking on your door, I think that's the message learned from matzah. And Mora, we know famously Chazal say, it was a slow transition. You know, it started slow and spread. And Mora reminds you not to lose sight of those small things that might be spreading on a spiritual level. That's how I'd elaborate. You know, sometimes when we get to Yamim No Ra'im, we make these kabbalos and we realize that things that are small are a big deal. And at least on a Avodas Hashem level, perhaps in the same way that the Egyptians were able to trick us into slavery by starting out slow and then it spread into real slave work, you know, what small avenue has the Yetzirah tunneled into your Avodas Hashem that is slowly spreading? And Bezos Hashem, this Pesach, we will all be zoche to fight that. And again, I brought the Sefer, you know, let my nation go. There's just so many midrashim in the Aseret Malchus. But again, if someone asks me to prioritize at the Haggadah, I would elaborate on what Pesach Matzah Maror really represent and the Aseret Malchus. Have a wonderful evening and a Chag Kasher B'Sameach.